You know, playing the right with Ben was an interesting experience because I got to play the right at a high level with a high level player to my left, obviously. And I got to experience what I didn't like in front of me being on the right. And it really made me notice that the inside foot dink, so that left foot dink when you're on the right, is not an easy dink to take with a one-handed backhand. And I think that the next time I'm on the left, I think I'm going to be on the left this weekend. I'm going to hit some more dinks to the inside foot of the right side player because it's just a tough area of the court to be dangerous from. I had a tough time being dangerous from it, especially if the ball bounces, because if you try to take a ball off the bounce from your own inside foot on the right side of the court, especially if you have a one-handed backhand, you're not going to be speeding that ball up. This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah. All right, so we are back with another episode of my show. We are here to report back saying that I played with Ben Johns and I did not win. So that's not a good look for the brand. No, I think it was funny. I mean, I knew going in that it was more something that we were doing because we were friends. We weren't maybe necessarily the best fit for each other. It's tough, right, because I only really play on the left side. I don't have as much experience on the right, especially recently. And it's just a tough thing. You know, first time playing together, it doesn't always work out. And we also played a team that is really good in the quarterfinals. I mean, Riley Newman and Gabe Tardio, they've just been, you know, Gabe's been on fire lately and he played super well. And we did not win, but Anna and I made the finals of mixed again. It seems like we make the finals of mixed almost every time. We haven't beat Ben and Anna Lee in a while. The last time we beat Ben and Anna Lee was in December. So that's about 7 months ago now. Tough team. Obviously, Ben and Anna Lee are so tough because Ben is the best male player in the world and Anna Lee is the best female player in the world. So, you know, however dominant you think Anna Lee and Catherine are, or Ben and Colin might be, or even if you put Ben with, you know, whoever you think would be the second best male player, that's still number one and number two playing with each other. But when Ben and Anna Lee play with each other, it is number one and number one. So it is tough to beat that team. But, you know, still getting to the final, beating the teams we're supposed to beat, that's always good. And we've also got MLP coming up. And if you're wondering why I'm recording from a hotel room, that is because we went straight from Sacramento to San Francisco for a day to teach a clinic. Had a great clinic there. And then we are now going to MLP DC. So we're playing Major League Pickleball in DC. We're switching from PPA to Major League Pickleball. And it's interesting. I've had people asking me how I feel about the PPA versus Major League Pickleball. And they're just such different events. You know, it's I think they're both great. I think there's an argument to be made that Major League Pickleball is maybe more fun to watch for some people. Me personally, I like playing PPA events better, which is funny because a lot of pros say they like Major League Pickleball better. And I think a lot of fans like Major League Pickleball. Major League Pickleball is the team format, so you've got two guys and two girls on each team, and there's the draft and all that. But me personally, I actually like the PPAs better. And I think the reason for that is it's the highest level of pickleball. And I've always been, you know, when I came into pickleball, I wasn't even really expecting to, you know, I wasn't as worried about the money. I mean, when I started playing, there wasn't that much money in at the top of the game. And now there is. And obviously, I'm super lucky to have that. But it's I was more so just always really intrigued and just curious as to how good the game could be played at the highest level because it was a new game. You know, it wasn't tennis or one of these other solved games or sports that have been around for so long. You know, pickleball is so new and it's still changing. You know, the game is getting better every week, and that's one of my favorite things. I think probably my favorite thing about it, the coolest thing about it. So the PPA, you know, those matches at the top of the PPA kind of represent what the best version of pickleball can look like. because it's the best players playing with the best players, and you choose your partner. And I think that's always been something that's super cool to me, just seeing, you know, just having the opportunity to play with and against like a Ben Johns or these other guys at the top every weekend, I think is great. And Major League Pickleball has its own advantages too, but I think that, and I still like Major League Pickleball also, but I do think that it's I guess definitely the overall level of quality of play has a has more of a ceiling, because it's not, you know, two top 10 players playing against two top 10 players. It's you've got like first round pick with a fourth round pick, and that just represents a different type of dynamic, which is cool also. But yeah, my personal, I guess it's just different. You know, I don't want to say that one's better than the other, but like I said, kind of did a little bit. But anyway, that's all we're talking about on the pro game. I know you guys want to get into the learning how to get better at pickleball stuff, which is definitely my favorite part of this podcast. And one of the things that I definitely want to reiterate to people I've been teaching at clinics is, you know, they're trying to learn about the fourth shot. So they want to learn about the fourth, which is, you know, the backhand fourth out, and this is out of the air. So the backhand fourth out of the air, or the forehand fourth out of the air. So what that means is, you know, you hit a return, somebody hits a serve to you, you hit a return, then you come in off your return, they're hitting a third, and then out off of their third shot, drop or drive, you are hitting a fourth. And that shot, you know, if you can get it out of the air, it's better than off the bounce, for the most part. But a lot of players are having some trouble really getting acceleration and wrist snap on those shots, just getting a ton of topspin, trying to keep the player back and really hitting those shots hard with a lot of pace. And something that helped me a ton was just treating it like a frisbee throw. And I think I've said this before, you know, you come from tennis, a lot of these shots, you're not going to see anything like them in tennis. Like, there's nothing really like a backhand flick or a backhand fourth in tennis. And it helped me a ton to sort of think of it like different things that you would be doing, like a frisbee throw, or treating a serve like an underhand throw as hard as you can. Like, that helped me a ton with the weight transfer.
So, before we get into this episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you are missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So get excited. Exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lesson courses, podcasts like mine, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily, from gripping PPA tournament matches like the ones that I'm in, or live coverage of a grandstand court to insightful player interviews? Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. And if you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to download the app today.
So if you've ever played frisbee, especially like throwing it with the backhand, if you throw a frisbee really hard, that is, for me at least, very similar to how it feels when I hit a backhand fourth, you know, with it's as much acceleration as possible. So I would say definitely try to, you know, I would say give it a try, see how it feels, and maybe even throw a frisbee. I know that when I played tennis, I would throw a football around, and throwing the football around helped me with my serve because it's a really similar motion. And I think it helps because hitting fourths out of the air with a lot of pace and a lot of topspin changes everything. You know, people say that transition is the most important part of the game. Well, when you're transitioning on your serve, trying to transition into the kitchen, you're competing against somebody who is trying to keep you back, and they're hitting fourths and sixths. So, you know, the fourth is also a part of transition. I mean, there's two different parts of the game. There's the transitional part to get to the kitchen, and then there is the kitchen stuff. And I think that's, you can kind of look at it that way. There's really two parts of it. And the serve and the return are, in that way, a part of the transition game. Because if you hit a bigger serve, then your third shot drop is going to be easier. So that makes the serve related directly to the third and to the fifth. So yeah, that's, we're kind of getting off topic with that, but that's, I would say something that definitely helped me, just treating it like a frisbee throw, kind of trying to just chuck it and just release it. Don't try to control and stop your hand too much. I think a great way to do it with the backhand and forehand fourth is go out there and miss some deep, miss some long, see how hard you can hit it and with how much spin and acceleration you can hit it before you try to keep it in every time. You want to try to hit it with as much acceleration as possible. Hit it as hard as you can and just see how it feels. Really get the weight transfer going. Get your body into it and feel comfortable just swinging out with it and then rein it in. You don't want to start with a really controlled, you know, soft way of hitting it. It's a different, that's just not the way to do it. I would start by hitting it hard, seeing what you can do, and then gradually rein it in and then develop the consistency from there. So that's a super important one. And another thing that I saw was, one thing that helped me a lot this past weekend was really making my feet wider in transition when I was resetting the ball. My resetting has just been getting better and better and better. And for me, that was, like I've said, if you watch this podcast, you know that's something that I didn't have a lot of talent for, wasn't super comfortable resetting the ball. And it wasn't due to a lack of practice. I practiced it a lot. And my resetting is still not perfect. There's still a lot of players with better resetting than me, but my resetting has come a long way from where it was. And I think for me, a huge part of it has just been making an athletic wide base when I'm in transition. I mean, if you think about it, when you're at the baseline or anywhere maybe past 4 feet behind the kitchen line, so you're in transition to the baseline, the ball is most likely going to go to your knee height or lower. And if you're standing 3 feet inside the baseline and it goes above your knee height, it's going out anyway. So it just kind of flipped a switch for me that I was standing way too straight up and my paddle was way too high when I was 3 feet inside the baseline. When, you know, if my paddle's at the height of my hips and my ready position's up here and I'm standing straight up, when I'm that close to the baseline and somebody's hitting a ball at their shoulder high trying to crush it at me, I'm just covering nothingness behind me. Like, because you're only guarding what's at the baseline or inside of the baseline. Anything past the baseline is out. Obviously. So I think that you can make yourself more efficient by getting lower in transition, making a wide base, because if you have a wide base, you're obviously going to be lower, and getting your paddle lower to start. I think the height of your paddle should pretty much be related to how close you are to the net or close you are to the baseline. And of course, related to how high the opponent's paddle is. If they're about to crush an overhead at you, you want your paddle to be low. But another good determinant of that paddle ready position should be how close you are to the baseline. If you're back there on the baseline and somebody's hitting a fourth at you, you don't need to have your paddle up here. Like, because anything that your paddle's going to be touching around here, if you're at the baseline, is going out. It's going to hit the fence. So you can make yourself more efficient by having that paddle position lower. Have it at your knee height. Pickleball is an unsolved game, and I'm trying to learn different things. And it's funny because I've found that I'm learning more about the shots that I'm not so naturally talented at. Like with the backhand counter, or like with an overhead, I'm not really experimenting with stuff. With the two-handed backhand dink, I'm not really experimenting because I don't want to mess myself up. I'm already good at those shots. But with resetting, I'm always trying to do something new. I'm trying to figure out different ways to like just optimize my own technique. And I think it's helped me teach those shots better. Because in truth, I don't really know if I'm the best guy to teach a backhand counter, because when somebody hits it to my backhand, I just volley it. I don't really think anything. And it's different. It's definitely a lot different. So yeah, that's something that helped me a lot, getting the paddle low in transition. And then a final thing that I think was definitely, you know, playing the right with Ben was an interesting experience because I got to play the right at a high level with a high level player to my left, obviously. And I got to experience what I didn't like in front of me being on the right. And it really made me notice that the inside foot dink, so that left foot dink when you're on the right, is not an easy dink to take with a one-handed backhand. And I think that the next time I'm on the left, I think I'm going to be on the left this weekend. I'm going to hit some more dinks to the inside foot of the right side player because it's just a tough area of the court to be dangerous from. I had a tough time being dangerous from it, especially if the ball bounces, because if you try to take a ball off the bounce from your own inside foot on the right side of the court, especially if you have a one-handed backhand, you're not going to be speeding that ball up. And I think men's doubles is all about putting the ball in places where the ball is most likely to not be sped up, safe zones, so to speak. That's definitely a safe zone, at least against me when I'm on the right. And so that's something that I think can benefit people if you really think about it. If you're somebody that only likes to play the left or only likes to play the right, I would recommend getting some repetitions on the other side of the court, because it'll open your mind to seeing, okay, I don't like to face this. I do like to face this. So then you can teach yourself when you get back on your preferred side, okay, well, maybe I should implement this, because when I was, for me at least, when I was on the right, I didn't like to play against this. This shot was tough for me. So then when I go back on the left, I'm going to add those things because now I have a feel for the right side a little bit more. So yeah, that's about it, guys. I only slept like 3 hours last night. The energy wasn't tremendous on this podcast, but it's not always easy. The schedule is crazy out here. And I'm just doing my best to try to give you guys some information every week as best as I can. So anyway, thank you guys for watching, and that's all we got.